Oh, no.
Marcus.
Hi, I just got on.
Yeah, I do too. So I think he's not on yet.
No.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
So we are studying the Parasha of Noah from the Zohar, section 26. And we're going to start tonight with verse 197, after the Shem Yehud. And we have studied 197 yesterday, but we had not completed it. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin te bit hilu urchimu ut hilu ut hilu urchimu. L'yakta l'shem yud he bavad he b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu alinu ma'asei adenu kurenei alinu ma'asei adenu kurenehu. I'm going to read the English translation once again. We have read the Aramaic yesterday. Rabbi Shimon said that every person who has the evil eye has upon him the eye of the angel of destruction, who is called the destroyer of the world. Therefore, all should beware of such a person and not come close to him. By avoiding him, one shall be protected. It is forbidden to openly approach such a person, exposing ourselves to his evil eye. If we stand, must beware of a person with the evil eye, so much more must we be aware of the angel of death and hide ourselves on the day of the wrath of Hashem. Questions, comments, thoughts?
What is Kabbalah's description of evil eye?
The question is, what is evil eye?
No, what is Kabbalah's description of the evil eye?
Well, we need to start with what do you think evil eye is?
Many descriptions, I assume. One that does not have, or one that does not have a shim, of the Creator, or denies the Creator. One that causes destruction. One that takes advantage of the poor, or of anyone, for that matter.
Let me interrupt you and ask you, if somebody gets angry and destroys some property of someone else, is that evil eye?
That's evil behavior. One that covets thy neighbor's property. I guess you're looking for yes or no. Yeah.
That's getting closer to the Kabbalistic understanding of evil eye. There is the way the spiritual system works. If one has jealousy of towards another person, what is that jealousy? That jealousy is, there are two people, let's call them A and B. A has something of value to B. It may not be of value to anybody else, but to B it's of value. And B wants that thing. That is not evil eye. That's jealousy. Evil eye is when B not only wants that thing, but doesn't want A to have it. That form of energy, of desire to receive for oneself alone, that includes an energy of hatred for no reason, that is the definition, my understanding of evil eye. And there are people in the world who have this essence. Well, on Yom Kippur, a person was designated to take the goat to Azazel because they had the evil eye. They had this energy of destruction. Not only did their jealousy take the thing away, but it was destructive in at the same time. That person was designated to take the goat to Azazel. So there are people in the world who have evil eye, who have this essence, and we are told in this verse to stay away from them. And just by staying away from them, being out of their sight, we are protected from evil eye. But then we are cautioned also, not only should we stay away from the person, we should stay away from Satan even more so. Because the source of the evil eye energy, that destructive energy, that hatred for no reason, that is coming from the negative aspect of Satan. So how can we tell if someone has evil eye? By observing people. It's not an energy that we can sense or see. By observing people and their interaction with other people. And if we see that form of jealousy that is so strong that it takes over and consumes the person, I'm speaking of B now, and when we see that, we will see how A loses the thing, but B doesn't get it. This is evil eye. And I think you can get a sense now of why I felt that this verse needed to have additional discussion.
Right. I believe that's what the sheep do that. They won't let the other one eat. Not that they want it because they have their own food, but they'll keep that, they'll zone in on one of the sheep and not, and keep them away from the feeding trough.
Correct.
Sheep do that, yeah.
This is what the nature of the lamb and why the Zohar says the lamb is the most negative animal on earth. Its essence is evil eye. It wants what the other one has, but not because it wants for itself, but because it doesn't want the other animal to have its own food, to have any food at all. And if you don't know if someone is an evil-eyed person, as we normally don't know, how do we protect ourselves? We utilize the 11 verses, and you can find it on the Unique Astrological Times page under the month of Scorpio, the month of Heshvan. You can find the energy of those 11 verses that start with a nun and end with a nun sofit. Are there any other questions, or should I go on to the next verse?
So those 11 verses will keep us from being in the view of the negative, in the view of the negative system, like a protection?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? I didn't understand your question, Malka.
Hannah answered you?
Yeah. Okay, is Hannah on the line? I'm not sure.
Yes. I didn't hear you. Yeah, she asked if those verses were protection, and I said yes. And I was thinking I had printed a copy for Brandy and for Judy when they had come to class, and I usually, whenever I give Brandy and Judy, I give to also to Malka. So I don't know. I was trying to remember if I had given her a copy too.
Oh, I understand now.
And it was because at one time we had a friend who we felt was giving the evil eye to one of us, and so, you know, because I know where your handouts are, you know, it's easy for me to, and they don't have printers, so.
Understand.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did.
I think,
and I hope Malka has the list, but if not, you will find it on that Unique Astrological Times link, the landing page.
Okay.
Verse 198. Okay.
Can I make
another?
The idea, you know, we always think of the evil eye being the other person, someone else, you know. But the idea, the Lord is my shepherd, and the metaphors of Hashem being our shepherd and we're the sheep or we're the lambs, you know, it makes you aware that you have to watch yourself, because it's, I think when you go through certain periods, I know when we came back from Israel and really had to start all over again, almost as newlyweds, because we didn't have washer and dryer and TV and all the electrical things that you need in a kitchen, and, you know, because we had gotten rid of all of that because the electrical system was different in Israel. And I really had to fight being jealous. I don't think I went so far to carry it over that I didn't want another person to have it. But I really had to, you know, to watch. Now, some things I saw come back, or I was able to get them. For example, I think Obama had just put out some program where if you were buying a home for the first time, you were eligible for $10,000, and if it wasn't your first home, but you were buying a home, then you were eligible for $8,000. We made that by 4 days. See, I didn't know about it, but when we signed the contract on this house, the date was, if it had been 4 days later, we would not have been eligible for that $8,000. And that's what our appliances. Other things I saw come back. Other things I didn't. And so I had to say to myself, if I don't have it, I don't need it. Or I can't afford the luxury of being jealous. So I think we have to watch ourselves, too.
Well, it's a point well taken. Who has evil eye? We do.
Mm-hmm.
A lower level of evil eye is evil tongue, Lashon Hara.
Mm. That one's even harder than Ayin Hara, if you ask me.
And what it also teaches you is to strive to control your unconscious, because you're not really aware that you might be drawing the energy of that thing away from another person. And as I said, if it's evil eye, a true evil eye, you're not going to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that person's going to lose it.
Well, I think the example that Malka just remembered, you know, about the two lambs at the water trough or the feed trough, and the one comes over and pushes that one away. That,
yes.
I guess, because that linked me to the Lord is my shepherd, and us being a metaphor for as lambs, you know, that made a big impression on me. So it's a good one.
Baruch Hashem. Verse 198. Ma ketiv b'bilam unum ha-gever te'teum ha-ayin de'ena bisha ha-waleya u'kol atar da'chawa mis-tachel be'ya ha-wam shich Aleya ruach mechabila, mechabila ugin kach, awa bae leista kala, beho be Yisrael begin di yoshete, bekol otar deeneya, awa mistakel. Makitiv vayisa bilam et enav dezakif eina kad umayich eina begin listakala beho b'Yisrael be'eina b'isha. Of Bilam, it is written, the speech of the man whose eyes are open, meaning that he had an evil eye, and wherever he looked, he drew the spirit of destruction on it. That is why he wanted to gaze on Israel, so that he could destroy all that his eyes could see, that his eye could see. Thus it is written, and Bilam lifted up his eyes. Meaning he raised one eye and lowered the other, tempting to gaze on Yesod with the evil eye. Questions, comments, thoughts?
My version says it's tempting to gaze on Israel, rather than Yesod. I heard you sewed. Maybe I heard wrong.
I don't think I said you sewed, but if I did, I apologize. It does say Israel as well, and that's what I thought I had said. But I say things differently than I read them, so it's very possible.
Yeah, I heard it sewed as well.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay, I was looking at the word speech. Was that just a typo, or you think that was something other than what we think of as normal speech?
Well, I don't know what you mean by typo.
Bilam, it is written, the speech of the man, but speech is spelled S-B-E-A-C-H. And I just
wondered if it was... In my version, it's S-B-E-E-C-H.
Okay, so that's a typo. I thought maybe it had some significance.
Understand. I'm glad you checked.
Just gives me an image of Balaam looking through a telescope. You know, you have one eye shut, one eye open. You're looking really deep into, like, a long distance, and you're really searching through, you know, microscopic kind of looking. Draw that image. I know he didn't have that, but that's the kind of image. If there was, you know, couple of million people, and he was just scanning. It's like scanning the whole terrain.
Well, I think he knew that. Go ahead.
No, he did know that he had the evil eye. That's what he was marketing. He was selling that skill that he had, that tool that Hashem had given him, that he had created within himself.
I felt like it was like a sneaky attempt, because he knew he wasn't going to be able to curse the children of Israel. But it was like, okay, so I can't curse them with my mouth, but I'll do it with my eyes. You know, does that make sense?
Well, the Midrash says he was looking to curse the children of Israel. He wanted to curse the children of Israel. He was jealous of their relationship with Hashem when he only had a relationship with Elohim. And he marketed himself as being able to curse, because he had a skill, according to the Midrash. He had a gift to know the one instant a day where Hashem was angry at Israel. And if he could curse at that instant, it was destruction to Israel. But there was no opening in Israel for his words to be effective. But he was looking, his innate energy, his essence, was to bring destruction on whoever paid him to bring destruction. And he wanted to bring destruction. Bilam is a tool of the negative system. Bilam is the equivalent of Moshe for the 70 nations.
So he was pretty much selling judgment for Israel.
He was selling his skills. The fact that he could tell when God was angry with the world.
I always pictured him as being at the top of the mountain and looking down in the valley and seeing the tabernacle and seeing the tribes all in their orderly position. And I'm sure the cloud of glory or the fire by night, you know, above, that had to be an awe experience. And that's why I kind of always felt like he was sneaky. And instead of words, he thought he could do it with his intuition and his Kavanaugh and his eyes.
Right. But essentially what he was doing, he was looking for the opening in Israel. Because most human beings, if they are given the opportunity to quote-unquote spy on one of their neighbors, to find their neighbors doing something wrong, they're very happy because they think they're better than their neighbor. That's a very normal human trait. And what do people do, neighbors who live close to each other?
Well,
if somebody leaves the curtains up, if the shades are up, will someone try to look into the house? Most human beings will try. This is the nature of people. So, Bill, I'm using that image that Hannah uses. Bilam is on top of the mountain looking at the various tents. He's looking for that one person in the camp of Israel who is looking to see into the neighbor's tents, to see the neighbor doing something wrong.
But weren't their tent doors in such...
that they could see their neighbor. They always were pitching their tent that they couldn't see into the neighbors. They could only see the wall of the house, of the tent. So he had no opening to get into Israel. It's exactly what we talk about today in terms of hacking a computer. What do the hackers try and do? They want access to the network. They just need one person that's willing to disclose their password to them. And then once they're in the network, they have clear access to what the network is. We will pick up tomorrow unless you have some questions on this verse. We will see you tomorrow morning. Actually, tonight at 7 p.m. West Coast time, we have a question and answer session.
Okay.
And at 7 a.m., we will connect to Psalm 26. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone have a beautiful time.
You too.